There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
And because you're going to be on that panel, which is all about how history interacts with fantasy, I thought it'd be great to get your take on this book by Leo Carey. Would you mind introducing it to the listeners for us?
Yeah, sure. So this is a kind of a complex fantasy political story of Northerners and Southerners. So the Northerners are rather large, Neanderthal, kind of 7 foot tall, live very long. And the Southerners are sort of, you know, modern humans, if you like, and they don't live so long. And they're in a kind of a rush to change everything, whereas for the Northerners as well, you know, why are you rushing so much, right? And we follow a character called Roper, who, when his father is slain in battle, he becomes the Black Lord, sort of the king of the Northerners. He's 19-year-old, which if you think the Northerners live for hundreds of years, he's probably like a toddler in their in their eyes, right? So there are other Northern lords who are quite keen to secure the throne. And so poor old Roper has to learn politics very quickly. And I was remembering Machiavelli when I was reading this. And I think this would really appeal to anyone who's interested in politics and how to build alliances and confederations to, you know, survive, really. And he has to sort of spend time trying to find a wife from a powerful family to make sure he's not assassinated at the same time. So there's all this internal struggle going on. But at the same time, there are these kind of plucky Southerners who have suddenly seen an opportunity in the North to actually invade. And they're led by a chap called Bellamus, who's kind of a buccaneering commoner, sharp of wit, tongue and mind. And he's kind of managed to take the forces up there, up to the North. And so not only does poor old Roper have to deal with the internal politics of what's happening, but also fend off these Southerners as well. So I think it's kind of, you know, it's very political, lots of heavy dialogue. It's a slow burn, but it's a very enjoyable book.
Just to address the elephant in the room with this book as well. So Leo Carew is 26 years old, Cambridge graduate of a biological anthropology, and he's constantly being described, it's plastered all over the front of the book and in every article attached to this novel, as most likely to become the next George R.R. Martin by the time he's 30, by the Mail on Sunday. So Game of Thrones is something that always seems to be coming up as a comparison for this book. But I don't necessarily think it's just this book. I think it's one of those marketing things that is used now for every single fantasy series. I mean, where do the comparisons actually fit and where don't they? Is it anything at all?
I think where they fit is in the politics, in the skullduggery, in the terms of, okay, we need to outdo those people. But whereas Game of Thrones can also be described as being quite vulgar, not suitable for a younger audience, I certainly wouldn't say. This is actually a quite clean novel. You know, you haven't got any of that. This reminds me very much of Brandon Sanderson in terms of his fantasy is amazing, but it doesn't have all that vulgarity that the Game of Thrones has. So I think there's a big difference there.
So these two races, you've got the Anakim and you've got the Southerners. Is it presented as good side versus bad side, like good versus evil? Or are you constantly reassessing in your mind when you're reading it, okay, I'm on the side of the Northerners and maybe I'm on the side of the Southerners. I see what they mean about this and that. So how did you feel about the two
No,
races?
I didn't. I mean, I think you obviously, you're in the point of view of certain characters and they're viewing the other side as sort of not necessarily good. But it's not that straight, right?
No.
Because, you know, life isn't like that. Every human being has the capacity for good and evil. And so the Northerners and the Southerners are exactly the same thing.
And what he writes really well about are the flaws within their right. own kind. So Roper, within his own people, he's got certain characters trying to overthrow him, or he's constantly worried he's going to be killed by,
His uncle.
And so I think even rather than looking at them as these are the goodies and these are the baddies, you actually look at individual characters from each side. And there's a handful of Southerners that you think, oh, if I could pick them and then make a third group, they'd all be really good, you know?
Maybe they could start a book club.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing will be is that as the series develops, is he going to create some outside existential threat that comes in.
Which that brings people together.
Unites the two northerners. I don't know. Well, it'll be worth asking him now, wouldn't
it? Yeah. Well, Belimus has spies in the northern camp, doesn't he? So I think there will actually, I think I have predicted the future of this series. And it's on air, so I can lay claim to it.
And it will always be there as evidence if you're wrong.
Absolutely. I'm not sure about the book club element. I don't know if Leo is going to go with that bit. But
I'd love that as a little side novel.
Yeah.
The War Book Club.
Yeah.
So The Spider is the next one after this, and that's coming out very soon. I think that's actually coming out in March, and it's available for pre-order, which is the follow-up to this. The whole series is called the Under the Northern Sky series. Just in general, like, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. But as I say, it's a patient build, right? So if you're looking for action from like every single page, a page, it's not that. It's a patient build. So I think it'll appeal to people who like history, people who like politics. If you like watching politics, it'll appeal to you. And if you just like a really, you know, in-depth read, but it's the kind of novel that you need to be reading it and only reading it. If you're used to reading three or four books at the same time, it'll be hard to come back to it.
Yeah, I found that.
Yeah, we said a similar thing, that it was at first you think, oh my word, it's so dialogue driven. You just kind of are really, it feels like a chore. But we both said that actually once we got into it and got kind of, you know, five or six chapters in, you're gripped.
I think it's also, there's a lot of information to process because that, and that's with any fantasy series I found as well. There is a lot of world building that has to happen for you to, in the same way that if you go and watch a Shakespeare play, for the first 5 minutes, I find that it takes me a while to get acclimatized to the new dialogue, the pace and everything. And I find that with a lot of fantasy series, and the same with this. But once I was invested, I found that I was empathizing with the characters. Roper in particular, I was fully behind and wanted to know, you know, how his life would pan out. And I was very invested in the characters. And I think once you're hooked into the characters, then the rest of it just flows naturally.
You can't believe that this, it's hard to believe it's written by a 26-year-old. I mean, with that for me is just the depth of imagination and in history and what's gone into this. You just, that, you know, wow. And I know we're going to find out more later, but it's not like he hasn't got other stuff going on in his life, you know. Yeah, it's really interesting.
So we'll actually be speaking to Leo Carew in just a few minutes. So do send in any messages to 4001 if you've got any questions that you'd like to ask him. We've got plenty as well that we want to get cracking with in a few minutes. Before we get there, final thoughts on The Wolf Rayhan?
Yep, definitely a good read, a very good read. If you want to get lost in a detailed story, I would highly recommend it.
I thought there were some great moments of comedy as well. Mm. One in particular that I liked is there's a character called Belimus, which we've brought up, who's kind of the key leader from the southerners' side, who's pushing these forces forward. And he really struggles to wake up in the morning, which I completely identify with. And so he's tasked his servants with finding creative ways of waking him up. They can do anything that they want as long as it isn't throwing a bucket of cold water over him. So they wake him up with food, with breakfast, and then there's one moment where he's actually woken up because the servant has put oats on him and led a pony into the room to wake him up that way.
There's probably parents across Dubai now thinking, I have a teenager, maybe I'll try that when it's school on Sunday morning.
Yes, because it's completely easy between now and then to go
find
and get
a pony
horse
and a bowl of oats. Why not?
Of course, naturally. So yeah, I liked the moments of comedy in there. There's a few of them. It is kind of historic fantasy, mainly, so there aren't that many comedic moments. But Natalie, your final thoughts on the book?
Yes, I think it's a book of, from a reader's point of view, persevere is the key thing. I think get through that first few chapters, establish yourself in the, you know, in the where it is and the characters and sort of, you know, commit to it, and then you'll just love it and you'll be really happy that you read it.
Thank you for texting and asking for the name of the book. Love the typo that you sent in. I won't embarrass you by reading it on air, but the name of the book is The Wolf by Leo Carew. And Yeah, so we'll be talking to him in just a few minutes. I think it's amazing. He started off, you were telling me about the fact that he was dyslexic when he was younger.
So he has dyspraxia, and he didn't actually learn to read until he was 10 years old. And even when he did learn, he didn't learn in the traditional way that we've probably all learnt to read. He would listen to an audiobook, and then he would have that copy of that book in front of him, and he would just match up the symbols of the words he was hearing and match it to a... And it's just incredible that he's now writing with such depth when, you know, arguably he may have been one of those people who thought, oh, I'm rubbish at reading, I can't do it, it's not for me. So yeah, I think that's a really interesting start.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.